Well, we welcome you back this evening. Trust you've had a good Lord's Day so far, a good afternoon. I know it was a great morning of worship and song and fellowship, but we're glad you're here this evening. Let me say welcome if you're our guest. We're so grateful that you've come. Maybe in God's providence, you didn't know we were having a baptism and you just happened to be here. Well, we're glad you're here. You're in for a real blessing. Perhaps you came because somebody you know is being baptized and you came to support them. Thank you. If you've come to do that this evening. Well, we do want to hear from those who've come to Jesus Christ as they share their testimonies with us and are baptized, but we just need to start by reminding ourselves of what baptism is and isn't. What happens tonight in this water doesn't save anyone. It doesn't forgive sins. It doesn't accomplish anything except an act of obedience by the person. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, once you become my disciple, I want you to be baptized, immersed in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But predominantly, it's a picture. It's a picture of what's already occurred. And it's important to remind ourselves of that. How do the ones who will give their testimonies tonight, how did they come to be right with God? That's the key question. Really, it's the question that we all have to reckon with and come to grips with. And the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans lays that out so beautifully. He starts by describing how desperately every person needs to know God, that we are dead in our sin, that we can't please God, that the wages of our sin is death. Left to ourselves, we earn not only spiritual death, but we earn physical death, and most of all, we earn eternal death in a place that the Lord Jesus called hell. And that is our destiny, every human's destiny, apart from the intervention of God in saving grace. And that's what we need to know, is how does that happen? And Paul describes it this way. Once he describes the bad news, in chapter 3 of Romans, he comes to the good news, and he says this, we are justified, that is, we are declared right before God. And he goes on to say, not based on our own works, our own merits, anything we have done. He says, being justified by his grace. That is, we're only made right with God because of the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. He gives us what we don't deserve. And beyond what we don't deserve, he gives us the opposite of what we deserve. So he says, being justified as a gift by his grace. As a gift. Salvation, a right relationship with God is a gift that God gives to the believing sinner. The sinner who comes to the end of himself and repents of his sin and believes in the Lord Jesus, we are made right with God as a gift by his grace, Paul says. But how can God do that? How can God be just, a just judge, and forgive guilty sinners like we are? You know, I think most people have the idea that God can just sort of wave his hand and say, you're forgiven. But that absolutely violates all principles of justice. And you would say the same about a human judge who just kept forgiving criminals who showed up in front of his bench. There has to be some way that God can be just and still forgive guilty sinners. And Paul goes on to describe it like this. He says, we are justified, we're made right with God. As a gift, by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That is, through what Jesus has accomplished. He has bought us back from the slave market of sin. He has given his life as a ransom for us. And then Paul adds it and sort of gives it a more specific tone when he says this. God publicly displayed Jesus on the cross as a propitiation in his blood. In other words, God made Christ the propitiation for our sins. That's a long word, but such an important theological word. It means he, by his death, satisfied the justice of God. He died the death that every person who would ever believe in him deserved. And that allowed God to be just and forgive our sins. That's how God made it possible for us to be reconciled to him, to be forgiven. A just God forgiving guilty sinners. It's because somebody paid for our sins. For the one who repents and believes in Jesus, Jesus paid for our sins. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. And that's what every person who's going to be baptized tonight has believed. And it's because of their repentance of their sin and their faith in the Lord Jesus and what he did that they are right with God. And this is simply a picture of what happened to them at that moment. At that moment, the person they used to be died. And that's what's pictured when I put them under the water. And they became a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's what's pictured when I raised them up out of the water. And all of that happened because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you hear their testimonies tonight, remember that this water accomplishes nothing. It was the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection that accomplished everything. You pray for them as they come now to share their testimonies with us.
Good evening. My name is Gresham Dees, and I'm here tonight to share my testimony and to be baptized in accordance with God's command. Like so many others, I am blessed to have been raised attending Countryside, where I heard excellent expository teaching of the Word of God for my whole life. However, as a child, I was blinded to the real truths of the gospel, even though I could understand the theological ideas of justification, repentance, and trust in God. I despised my parents' authority over my life and would foolishly get angry at them when I didn't get my way. I lived in habits of selfishness, lying, and rudeness to my family. I understood verses from Awana, like Romans 3:23, which says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But I didn't make the connection to my personal life. I also never took the verses very seriously and wanted to avoid my obvious sin issues if I could. I knew that I was not saved and I was living for my habits of sin, but I never felt guilty about my behavior. Instead, I tried my best to ignore the issues I saw in my life. I especially avoided the truth of eternality and what happens after you die. I thought that instead becoming a Christian was something I'd get to later in life, and that I had plenty of time to live for myself, which I continue to believe through my early teenage years. Meanwhile, I lived unapologetically for my own happiness. I was very selfish, only concerned with doing what made me happy, and truly thought that I could find peace and satisfaction by fulfilling my own heart's desires. However, with the continuous faithful teaching from Pastor Tom and the other pastors here at Countryside, God was stirring my soul to become more convicted of my moral state. During the winter of 2022, I was able to hear the word preached from many other excellent pastors during the church conference here at Countryside. There, by God's grace, I began to understand the passages preached, and I realized truly why I needed Jesus. I had previously viewed becoming a Christian as a box to check before you die, but through the preaching I was hearing, I realized that we don't know when that will happen. James 4:14 says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I knew we're not promised another day, another hour, or another minute, and that waiting for later is not how a person can be saved. It also became clear to me that the happiness I was seeking in life would not be achieved through my own means. Jesus says in John 15:10 through 11, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete and that you're in you. My sin brought me shame as I felt the guilt of its consequences on my life. And though I don't remember the exact moment, I turned from it and repented and put my trust in the Savior. Now, with the Holy Spirit's restoration, I've been reconciled to God and have put off the old self who loved sin and put on the new self seeking the things above. I now strive to practice the fruits of the Spirit in my life by loving others with kindness and humility. I have a passion for God's word and use it as a manual for my life. I hold an active prayer life, praying for my further sanctification and for others, as well as thanking God for the blessings he has given me. I am not perfect, and I still sin, but I now repent and ask for forgiveness when I do. Sin doesn't seem attractive to me anymore, but rather my desire is to follow God's will. Now, because of my newness in Christ, and according to his command, I am here tonight to be baptized."
Well, Gresham, we rejoice that God through his word, through a faithful family and parents, through the teaching of God's word in various venues here, that he brought conviction to your heart. He brought you to understand your sin as well as to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you have repented and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Megan Garcia, and this is my testimony. I was born in a Christian home to my amazing parents who loved the Lord and taught me the truths of Scripture. Outwardly, I was a pretty good kid. I had been presented with the gospel often, and I even had scriptures committed to memory, like Matthew 5:48, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." I knew Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And because of this, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I had heard the words, "Repent and believe," and I assumed I had done those things. When I was in second grade, I learned about hell in Awana, and that made me afraid. I went home that night and prayed a prayer with my mom, and I relied on that alone for my salvation. I went on really believing I was saved only because of that prayer. From that point on, I lived my life believing I was a Christian. I obeyed my parents and teachers, I served in church, I read my Bible, and I had even gotten baptized here a couple of years ago. But I did all of this because I was self-deceived. I thought I was a believer, but my true desire to obey came from a desire to please my parents, fit in with my friends, and keep up my reputation as a good church kid. I thought I wanted to honor the Lord, but instead I was just doing what I could to please the people around me. I sought affirmation and acceptance more than anything else. In my junior year of high school, I had a new teammate on my basketball team. She was very outspoken about not being a Christian and how she believed that God was not for her. This was the first time I had had a relationship with a friend like this. I wanted to do everything I could to make her like me and to receive affirmation from her, while still desiring to make my parents happy. I had an enormous fear of man. Obviously, the things that my new worldly friend wanted me to do and the things that my parents wanted me to do were not lining up, and I became incredibly stressed trying to figure out how to make everybody happy. I had made an idol out of affirmation, and it was going nowhere good. Finally, when I had gotten to the end of my rope, I went to my older brother's house and broke down and told him everything that was going on in my life. But he explained to me that I was trying to please all of the people in my life and that I hadn't once mentioned pleasing the Lord. He told me that I had made an idol out of affirmation and that I couldn't fear man, but instead I needed to fear the Lord. Isaiah 2:22 says, "Who is man that he should be regarded for as the Lord who puts breath in his lungs?" He broke down the gospel for me once again, but this time the Lord opened my eyes to understand the truth. The Lord was my creator, and I needed to obey and glorify him. I, on my own, was nothing. I needed to repent and believe in him and use my life to glorify God in all that I do, because he is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. That day I went before the Lord in prayer, repented of my sins, and submitted my will to him as Lord. Since I have come to Christ, I strive to glorify God in all that I do. I realize that apart from him, I am nothing. I obey my parents and the authorities over me because the Lord commands me to, not just because I don't want to upset anybody. When I get called out for sin, I mourn over it, not just because I got caught, but because I have sinned against a holy God who loves me. My friends and family agree that I am a different person. I have a newfound joy in the Lord. I still struggle with the desire to please people, but I can now call out to the Lord for help, and I'm no longer stressed and crippled by a fear of man. Instead, I strive to honor the Lord and put Christ as the center of my life, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Megan, we're so grateful that the Lord opened your eyes to see the truth of your condition, brought you to truly know him, because you have confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Michael Leonard, and this is my testimony of my faith in Jesus Christ. I was born and raised in a Christian family. My parents took me to Countryside Bible Church every Sunday and taught me about Christ and Christian values at home. As a child, I would have said I was a Christian, mainly because my parents were and that we went to church, but I never truly acknowledged my sin or committed my life to Christ. The truth is, I was a sinner. I disobeyed my parents and often acted with selfish intentions. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and I was no exception. When I was 10 years old, I was sitting in church listening to Pastor Tom talk about how simply attending church, being in a Christian family, or agreeing with the Bible does not give you saving faith. He explained that to truly follow Christ, you must confess your sins, repent, and believe in the gospel. These words echoed Mark 1:15b, which says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And Romans 10:9, which says, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I was filled with conviction after that sermon because I realized I wasn't a follower of Christ. After the service, I told my dad that I wanted to give my life to Christ. He walked me through what it meant to be a Christian and prayed with me as I confessed my sin and surrendered my life to Jesus. In the first few years after coming to Christ, I grew in my faith by studying scripture and memorizing Bible verses. But in the last years of high school and into my early time at the University of Oklahoma, I struggled with depression and slowly drifted away from my walk with the Lord. I would still go to church occasionally, but spiritually, I had gone dormant. I tried filling the void of my depression with the things of the world, and it left me cynical about life and hopeless on my own. In my third year of college, a friend invited me to a Bible study at Wildwood Community Church in Norman. I started attending both the Bible study and services on Sunday, and through this, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit for the distance I had allowed between myself and God. I then repented and recommitted my life to walking in faith. Much like the prodigal son in Luke 15, I had wandered far, chasing things that left me empty. But when I turned back, I found that God had been waiting with open arms. His grace covered my failure, and his love brought me back into fellowship with him. That story reminds me that no matter how far we stray, we are never beyond the reach of God's mercy. Since returning to the Lord, I have experienced real growth in my faith. I deepened my relationship with him through scripture, prayer, and being part of a Christ-centered community. Being surrounded by friends and family who walk with Christ has encouraged and challenged me to continue growing in my faith. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I've grown in my gratitude for God's grace and goodness, especially as I look back on the times I've fallen short in my faith. Even when I've doubted, wandered, or struggled, he has never turned away from me. Instead, he has remained faithful, patiently drawing me back, reminding me of his love, and leading me to walk in obedience through his grace. For all these reasons, and to walk in obedience with Christ's command, I have come today to be baptized.
Michael, as I heard your testimony, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 23, that the Lord is our shepherd, and he doesn't let his sheep keep straying. He restores our soul. He brings us back and guides us on the paths of righteousness. Because you have repented of your sins and believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Ruby, and I will be sharing my testimony with you. I have grown up at Countryside Bible Church my whole life, and I've gone to church every Sunday with my family. I would always dread waking up early to come to church because I didn't see the point in listening to long, boring sermons. I never paid attention to teachings, and they too often went through one ear and out the other. I was rebellious, disobeyed my parents, and frequently made excuses that I wasn't as bad as some other kids my age. I have always known the Bible's truths and was the first to raise my hand and shout out answers to Sunday school questions. But I never truly understood why I believed what I did and never really tried to understand either. All throughout my life, I thought I was saved just because I was raised in a Christian home and went to church. I would make people believe that I was this perfect Christian girl, but in reality, I hadn't repented and my heart hadn't changed. My seventh grade year, I decided to fully surrender my life to Jesus and confess him as Lord and Savior. Just like it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God opened my eyes to see that there was no reason to wait to give your life to Jesus. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Even after I giving my life to Christ, there was a time where I really struggled with feeling like my story wasn't big enough. As I would listen to baptism services and other people's testimonies, I felt like I needed this big story to prove to everyone that I was truly saved. I realized later that this wasn't true and that my story, as simple as it may seem, was cherished by God, and he doesn't need it to be big and dramatic. He just wants it to be real. After giving my life to Jesus, things didn't become perfect, but my life had truly changed in the best way possible. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I started to understand the weight of my sin and the beauty of God's grace. I no longer just knew about God, but started to learn and grow personally in my relationship with him. I now love to read the Bible, not because I have to, but because I want to know more about my Savior. I realized that reading God's word isn't an annoying chore like I used to think, but instead it's a blessing that God has given us in his word so that we may reference scripture to help us turn to his truth when we face life struggles. Church started feeling less like a hindrance and became a place where I could learn and fellowship with other believers who also love the Lord. I started to feel more convicted whenever I would sin instead of just brushing it off. I became aware of how much repentance is necessary, and I realized the power of God's forgiveness. I now desire to obey my parents, love others, and pursue what honors Christ. I did all of this not because I was forced to, but because I wanted to live differently for him. It's not about me being good enough, it's about how good he is, and this is my public confession that I belong to Jesus, and I want to live the rest of my life following him. And that's why I'm here today to be baptized.
Well, Ruby, we're so grateful that the Lord opened your eyes to see the truth. And what's amazing about your story is you said your testimony wasn't big enough. The truth is, what you described is amazing. It's a miracle. God gave you life where once there was spiritual death. Because you have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, y'all. My name is Brandon Alexander, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home with two amazing parents and two older brothers. I made a profession of faith when I was young, but honestly, it was more about doing the right thing on the outside than having a real relationship with Jesus. Church felt like a checklist, not something I look forward to. I liked being seen as a good kid, but in my heart, I was disconnected. When my brothers got married and moved out, I felt a huge void. I became bitter and angry, hating being alone instead of turning to God. I tried to cope on my own, and over time, that led me into a darker and darker place. Eventually, I fell into depression, and a year ago, I even tried to take my own life. Even after that, I still didn't turn to God. I just shifted into trying to make myself happy, chasing the next thing, ignoring truth, and falling into addictions with drugs and alcohol. But nothing I turned to ever filled that void. I was more broken than ever. I felt like God was far away. But now I see that he was with me even then, as it says in Psalms 42. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. At Christmas 2024, I went back to my parents' house, and I saw my family truly enjoying each other and having joy, not because of things, but because of Christ. That stuck with me. I started opening up, having raw, honest conversations with my parents and my oldest brother. I began to realize what I truly needed wasn't more effort or escape, it was Jesus Christ. Not long after, I hit absolute rock bottom and called my granddad, asking him to share some verses with me. He gave me 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." That was the moment everything started to change. I left work, went home, and talked with my parents, my brother, and my sister-in-law. I told them, "I need to repent right now. I cannot wait another second. My story is long enough. I want to repent and give my life to Jesus. I'm done living for myself." So, on December 31st, 2024, I gave my life to Christ. Since then, my life has completely changed, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." And I've walked away from a lot: addictions, bad habits, and harmful relationships. I moved back home, joined a small group, started studying the Bible, and surrounded myself with people who built me up in faith. I used to think I was too far gone for God to love me, but now I hold tightly to the truth in Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." These last few months haven't been easy, but they've been full of peace, promise, and hope. I wake up wanting to honor God. I go to work listening to worship music and Christian podcasts. I'm no longer focused on what I don't have, but on what I've been given, a second chance at life. I truly believe what God says in Joel 2:25, "I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten." That's exactly what he's been doing in my life. Now, as I step into this new life, I hold on to the words of Acts 20:24, a verse that was shared with me by someone very dear before she went home to heaven. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. Today, I'm here because my old life is gone and my new life belongs to Christ, and that is why I'm here being baptized." Thank you.
Well, Brant, you discovered in your own life what Augustine discovered 1,600 years ago, and that is we were made for God, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in him. Because you have found your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you've trusted in him for the forgiveness of your sins, because he's given you new life, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Sachi. Before being saved, the best way I can describe my life is that I was lost. I grew up in an Indian family that was very lightly Hindu, which I never saw as an option to believe. My upbringing took place in a secular community, and most of my friends and I considered ourselves atheists. Religion was something to scoff at. As I got older and went to college, I had an ever-growing feeling of feeling lost, empty, and without purpose. Nothing I dabbled in seemed to satisfy what my soul was craving, and I couldn't help but notice something very similar in the people around me. Afterwards, I decided that maybe getting married and starting a family would fix the emptiness I was feeling, and while my family is the biggest blessing God has given me, I eventually was forced to realize that it was not the cure I was looking for. What I needed was to put my pride aside and realize there is nothing I could do to give my soul peace. That is something I was only going to be able to get by repenting of my sins, placing my faith in Jesus, and building a relationship with God. As it is stated in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." My salvation story was a slow process, drawn out over the course of multiple years. I had heard pieces of the gospel from random sources growing up, but I'd never really given it much thought. However, I wasn't truly exposed to it until I met my husband, his family, and we started going to church regularly. As happens in family life and marriage, I was faced with various trials at various times and was unable to handle them on my own. During one of these trials where everything seemed too hopeless and overwhelming to bear, I decided to pray for the first time completely out of desperation. And I remember the intense feeling of peace that washed over me. I also remember being extremely moved when reading Matthew 11:28, which states, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I also came to appreciate Philippians 4:6, which states, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Those verses are a testament to God's love for us, as well as his infinite wisdom and control in our lives. It was also important for me to gain a true understanding of who Jesus is and how he was sent here as a sacrifice to make us right with God, which was an act of love towards us. As stated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." There were lots of little moments like this that contributed to me starting to study the Bible and to decide what I believed about it. I also started getting more involved in church and noticed that those in the faith did not seem lost at all, unlike many people I was around growing up. All these things, as well as time, contributed to me coming to believe that God lovingly sent his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice so that we can be reconciled with him if we choose to place our faith in him, as well as to save us from our sinful ways in order to glorify him and also for our own good. My life since I've come to Christ has changed in that my motivations have changed, wanting to fulfill the role God wants me to as a Christian, as a wife, and as a mother. There is no longer any guesswork on how I should be living my life, and I can instead put my faith and trust in God and his word. As I am still what I classify as a baby Christian who did not grow up in the Christian community, I am excited to continue to learn and grow and mature in my faith. I have a renewed drive to study God's word, serve in church and in my home, and pray regularly. And so today, I am here to be baptized.
Great job. Grab the rest of my phone. Well, Sachi, we are so grateful that the Lord, through a series of circumstances and influences in your life, brought you to see the one true God, to put your faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you have repented and believed in him, in his finished work on the cross for you. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Tyler Bepko, and this is my testimony. I was raised in a Christian home and in a loving family. Ever since I was a baby, I was taken to church and was taught the scriptures at home. In Matthew 13:14-15, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah saying, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart." This describes my life before Christ. I was prideful, never listening to the commands of my parents. And if I listened, I would not do it all the way, right away, and certainly not with a happy heart. I was constantly wanting what the world had to offer and rejecting the truths I knew in Scripture. I was above all self-deceptive in thinking I was a Christian. I thought that because I went to church, read my Bible occasionally, and I wasn't really as bad as other people, that I was in a right relationship with God. I had no idea my helpless, dead spiritual state that I was in. Though I professed Christ, I realized that my patterns of unrepentant sin did not show that. During that time, I was faced with a variety of trials that led me to think of my eternal state. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." That thought frightened me. I thought I was going to heaven because of my works on this earth. The times that I obeyed my parents, rejected sin, read my Bible, went to church, I saw this as a way to get to heaven. But I was wrong. While I knew that Ephesians 2:8-9 said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast," I did not truly understand that. I was truly a slave to my sin. I do not remember the exact moment when I was saved, but I know that it was sometime during my freshman to sophomore year of high school. I remember looking at my fallen state and having a deep sorrow for my sin. I realized the weight and penalty of my sin, and it crushed me to the core. I started understanding the holiness of God and his perfect standard that he required of me. I fell short. I was not a good person. In fact, my sins, which I thought so lightly of, actually had the penalty of death. I was afraid, anxious, and depressed. It was then that I looked to Christ. God brought me down to my lowest point so I could look up and see him. He revealed himself through his word, the Bible, the book that I was taught my whole life. It had the same message, but God opened my eyes to truly see and understand it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Sometime early in that summer, I cried out to God as a helpless sinner in need of his mercy and repented of my sins. This was not of my own doing, as I could never seek Christ. He gave me a new heart. From that moment forward, my relationship to sin changed. I no longer wanted sin. I hated it. When the temptation of sin came up, I sought to run and flee from it. My attitude was no longer how much can I sin, but how little I can. Christ died for my sins, paid my wages, and implanted his righteousness in me. It is the ultimate exchange. Since coming to Christ, I've had an indescribable desire to learn and grow. Reading my Bible, meditating, fellowshipping with other believers have become key parts in my life. I know that none of this came from me, but through Christ alone. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. He has indeed made me a new creation. Though I still struggle with sin and am far from perfection, I am thankful to God for the work that he is doing in my life by sanctifying me, as well as his promise in Philippians 4:6, which says, 'For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.'" Christ has changed my life, and to anyone not saved watching, he can change yours. I stand with Paul when he stated he was the chief of sinners. But if Christ can save a rebellious, wrathful, lustful child like me, he can save anyone. Pray to God, not as a righteous person, but as a sinner in need of his mercy. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever will call upon on the name of the Lord will be saved." The first verse of the song, All I Have Is Christ, which you just sang, perfectly describes my helpless state before Christ and emphasizes his grace, which he showed to me. It says, "I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. But if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. Because Christ has loved me first, I'm here tonight to be baptized."
Well, Tyler, we are so grateful that God did bring you to the end of yourself, as he has to with all of us. He brought you to see your sin. You abandoned all hope in your own righteousness, your own merit, and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's your only hope of being right with God, because that is your testimony. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Deb Van Hove. I grew up in a home where I was baptized as an infant, went to church every Sunday, learned about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And looking back, I will always be grateful to my parents for bringing me to church, but I did not have a real understanding of what it all meant for my life. I knew about Jesus, but never had a relationship with him, and instead, I allowed the things of this world to influence and shape my choices. When I was about 33 years old, a neighbor invited me to a mother's Bible study. It was the first time I read the Bible, my first real encounter with the Word. And as I listened and studied the Word of God, I realized there were many contradictions with the religion I had practiced and the truths of the Bible. I wondered why no one had tried to tell me about this. And then I remembered there were those who attempted to share the gospel with me in college, but I wouldn't listen. I was stubborn, immoral, self-righteous, and thought my religion was the only truth. But I began to have so many questions about the things required by the church, things like going to confession every week, then it was every month, then it was once a year, then whenever you think you need it. Fasting before communion, initially it was 12 hours, then 3 hours, then 1 hour, then no fasting. And I wondered why the changes if it's God's word. praying to Mary and the saints, the infallibility of the Pope. Am I saved by my good works, by the things I do, by the prayers I say, by church attendance? Were these things in the Bible? So I began to search the Bible for clarity on these issues. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. God's word does not change, unlike the changing church traditions. The Bible also had answers to my question about Jesus and salvation. And of course, the very familiar beloved verses from John 3:16 and 17, it says, heaven and earth may pass away, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Being saved to spend an eternity with the Lord was not what I did, but what did I believe? Romans 10:9-11 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. I also began to realize that my good works, filthy rags, as Isaiah calls them, do not save me, but are an expression of my love and faith in Christ, a demonstration of a changed life. One of the great joys of my life is to study the Bible, to find out for myself the truths, promises, wonders of his love poured out in the pages of Scripture. In the past, I would have chosen something else, which today are filthy rags. And even though sin has less hold on my life, it still bothers me. Something I heard from John MacArthur resonated. He said, I sin less, but it bothers me more. And when I realize just how much my salvation cost Jesus, yes, my sin greatly bothers me. But once again, in God's great love and mercy for us, he forgives us our sins. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And not only does he forgive, he forgets. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, I will remember your sins no more. It truly is a remarkable gift of his grace, one that I will not be able to fully comprehend until I see him face to face. God treated Jesus as I deserve and gave me all that he deserves. And so, Pastor Tom, I would love to be baptized tonight as a public demonstration of my love and desire and faith to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Deb, we are all so grateful that the Lord brought you to his word. He brought you to compare what you had experienced with what he says, and that you abandon all hope in yourself, all hope in your own works, your own righteousness, and you put your entire confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because you have confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Charles Lombana, and I'm honored to share how God has transformed my life through his boundless grace and love, leading me to this moment of baptism. I grew up in New Jersey in a Catholic family, attending Catholic school, and later earning my undergraduate degree and MBA at a Catholic university. I believed in God and knew of Jesus, but I didn't know him personally. I thought salvation was something I had to earn through good works, praying the rosary, giving to the poor, or attending church. Isaiah 64:6 states, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings like the wind take us away." Romans 3:23 declares, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But I was blind to my sinful nature, living as if sin was as routine as daily tasks. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Yet I believed my efforts could prove my worth to God. Church felt like a prison, a duty to avoid judgment, not a place of joy. Over time, this burden pushed me away from my faith. As I drifted, the world's temptations, seeking peace and happiness and fleeting pleasures took over. I chased what 1 John 2, 15-16 warns against. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. My heart was far from God, and I was deaf to the gospel's truth. In September 2023, the weight of my sin became unbearable, stirring a deep conviction that I needed change. Yet I remained on the wide path Jesus describes in Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That November, Will Hader, a member of Countryside, handed me biblical material that shook me. Romans 6:23 pierced my heart, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mark 1:14-15 echoed in my mind where Jesus proclaims, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. These truths sparked conversations with Will, who patiently shared the love of Christ. John 3:16 became real to me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Still, I wrestled with doubt. Should I return to church, continue my old life, surrender to Christ? By Good Friday 2024, I was at a low point. Will invited me to Countryside service, and with nothing to lose, I went. The love of this community overwhelmed me, reflecting 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. I don't know the exact date my spiritual life began, but I have spiritual life now. By his grace, I repented and placed my faith in Jesus, trusting him alone for salvation. Since surrendering to Christ, my life has been transformed. Psalm 40:1-2 captures my journey. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he reached down to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. I now wake each morning eager to read my Bible, not out of duty, but joy. As Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Prayer has become consistent, giving thanks and seeking his will. As Philippians 4:6 encourages, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I no longer work to boast about myself, but to give God glory. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 instructs, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God. As a sports agent representing NFL and college football coaches, I now share the gospel openly, ending every call with prayer. My conversations with friends and family have shifted from worldly matters to Christ, reflecting Matthew 5:16. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This church's loving community has supported me, embodying Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Though I'm an unworthy sinner, I'm deeply grateful that God is using me, an ordinary man, to bring glory to his name. His ongoing work in my life gives me hope and purpose. So I'm here tonight to be baptized to publicly declare my faith in Jesus Christ and my commitment to follow him with all my heart.
Charles, we are so grateful for the clarity of your testimony, for your passion for the truth. We're grateful that the Lord, through his providence, opened your eyes to understand and see the truth of the gospel. Because you too have abandoned all hope in yourself and anything that you could do to earn God's favor. But instead, you have believed the simple truth of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because your faith is in that gospel, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is April Moreno. I was born and raised in South Texas by a young single mother. Though I know who my biological father is, I never had a relationship with him. And to this day, I don't know where he is. His absence left a void in my heart, and I found myself wrestling with questions about belonging and purpose. My mother did her best to fill that gap with love and sacrifice. At one point, she made the difficult decision to leave me in the care of relatives while she went up north to find work and build a better life for us. While my relatives took good care of me, I was introduced to both Catholic and Christian traditions, but I didn't yet know God personally or understand the path he had for my life. When my mother returned, our family grew and we made a home together. In my teenage years, I began to struggle with direction and identity. I avoided advice, rejected authority, and chose a rebellious path. I became disrespectful, careless, and made choices that led conflict in our home. What hurt the most was the example I set for my younger siblings. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." After leaving at 18, I continued down that same rebellious path. After years of chasing the world's version of happiness, what many might call living my best life, including my time in the Marine Corps, I eventually found myself worn out and spiritually empty. I was enslaved to alcohol, and that addiction led me to be arrested and jailed 3 different times. My life was marked by recklessness, broken relationship, and emotional wreckage, including the heartbreak of a miscarriage. I was lost, numb, and desperate for a way out. But God in his mercy met me in the middle of my mess and began to change everything. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, "But because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made up alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." In 2023, I've been baptized at my previous church, but I was not taught the true meaning of repentance. I thought going through the motions of being baptized would fix my life, but what I needed was a real relationship with Jesus. It wasn't until God began softening my heart that I saw my need for a savior, not just a fresh start, but a completely new life. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." We left our church and we found Countryside last year, and it was a turning point in my spiritual journey. I began to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, not by my own strength or good works. I learned that true repentance is turning away from sin and turning to God. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Ephesians 2:8-9 reminds us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Since surrendering my life to Christ, I've experienced a transformation that only he can bring. This November will mark 2 years of sobriety. By his grace, God sent me, my husband. We've been together for almost 7 years and married for 1 year. And we're raising two handsome boys and walking in peace I never thought possible. I no longer seek fulfillment in the things of the world. I find joy and purpose and healing in Jesus our Lord. I'm learning to selfishly, to forgive, and to trust God with my life. I spend time in his word daily, and prayer has become essential, not only to speak, but also to listen to his voice. I stay connected to my church family. His word truly is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105. At church, we have heard the question, why does the West never meet the East? I didn't understand at first, but then it was explained to me. The person I used to be is gone, and because of his grace, I will never go back. That's the freedom I found in Christ, and that's why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, April, we are so grateful for your sharing your story with us. We're grateful that the Lord brought you through all of those things to truly know him. And because he has given you a new heart, because he's taken out your heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Fair, and this is my testimony. I was raised in a Christian home and have been a part of Countryside for my entire life. From a young age, my parents were faithful in teaching me the scriptures, and I was regularly taught the gospel. I remember sitting through countless sermons and Sunday school classes here, listening to the gospel over and over again. Even though I was surrounded by biblical teaching and godly influences, and I knew it all to be true, I didn't want to face the reality of my sin. I was a very selfish person, and that displayed itself in anger towards others when I did not get my way. I did not want to surrender my life to Christ. Deep down, I knew that becoming a Christian meant giving up the sinful things that I loved and walking away from the friends I did them with. I loved my sins, and I was enslaved to them. Ephesians 4:17-19. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Romans 1:21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. I did not like thinking about the gospel. I knew that God was creator, that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ was sent to live a perfect, sinless life and die on a cross in my place, and that he rose from the dead. I had heard this thousands of times, but I rejected it and wanted to live my own life my way. I remember one Sunday, the summer of freshman year in college, I went to the college group here. I don't remember what the sermon was on, but as Isaiah 55:11 says, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent. I had never been more convicted of my sin. I drove home trying everything I could think of to get my mind off of my guilt, but nothing I did worked. I was so exhausted from the sinful life that I was living. Isaiah 57:20-21 says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. This was my life. And that afternoon is when I felt the weight of my sin and how exhausted I was from living in sin. I could not keep living in my sin, and that is when God saved me, and I submitted my life to his lordship over my life. which meant that I no longer was going to live my life for myself and what I wanted, but for Christ, not to earn anything, but to show my love for him because of what he did for me. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Since coming to Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I have seen a change in my relationship to sin. I am no longer comfortable in my sin as I once was, as well as certain sins I once struggled with, I no longer desire to do. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I have also seen a change in my thought life and how I see relationships and circumstances now. Though I still struggle with sin, I can see a growing love and care for others in my life and a growing love for the church. Some of the ways I've been cultivating my walk with the Lord are fellowship with the body of believers here at Countryside, as well as being blessed with a job where I can listen to sermons and podcasts all day, which the Lord has used to help me grow. I enjoy going through the Partners one-on-one discipleship program, which was a huge encouragement to me. Even after coming to Christ, I found it difficult to stay consistent in reading the Bible and praying. I thought that those desires would come immediately, but instead, God has been using this struggle to deepen my faith and show me what it means to rely on him and not myself. As I strive to obey Christ and testify what he has done in my life, I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Caleb, because though you once were weary and heavy laden, you have accepted Christ's invitation to come to him, to receive him as Savior and Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? 11 testimonies of God's work, his gracious work in the lives of sinners like us. Let me encourage you, if you're here tonight and you're a believer, if you know some of those who were baptized, seek them out. Let them know you appreciated their testimony. Commit to pray for them if you'll do that. Let them know that. I know that would be an encouragement to them, that God would continue his work in their lives. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have heard the gospel 12 different ways, and my prayer for you tonight is before your head hits the pillow, you'll find yourself alone with God, crying out to him for the forgiveness that he alone can give through his Son, his Son's perfect life, substitutionary death, and resurrection. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful for the gospel. We're grateful that you made a way to reconcile sinners like us to yourself. Lord, we had no hope outside of your initiating that reconciliation. We thank you that you sent your Son into the world to live the life we were supposed to live and to die the death that was destined for us, but eternally in hell. Lord, we thank you that he paid the price for our sin in full, and that then you raised him from the dead. And for all who believe in him, there is eternal life. We thank you that we passed out of death into life, that you've given us a new heart that loves you and loves your word. Lord, thank you for the testimony of these who shared with us this evening. We pray that you would continue your work in each one of them. Lord, we pray for Gresham, for Megan, for Michael, for Ruby, for Brant, for Sachi, for Tyler, for Deb, for Charles, for April and Caleb. Lord, in every case, their stories are so different and yet so much the same. They were sinners like us, and you sought them out. You called them to yourself through the gospel. You gave them eyes to see, ears to hear, and you gave them new life. Lord, thank you, and I pray that you'd continue your work in their lives. Use us and our church as an encouragement to them And Lord, continue to use them in this church for our good. And Lord, I pray for those who may be here tonight who don't know you. Lord, use the gospel they've heard, the simple gospel message, powerfully in their lives. May they not be able to get away from the truths they've heard. And may you use those truths to make them your own. We ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.